Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and in this segment we're going to continue with readings from a new book called Blood Oath by Stephen Wirth and Carl Jaspers. That is subtitled The Conspiracy to Murder Nicole Brown Simpson. It's published in softcover by Rainbow Books, copyright 1996. This book is about an alleged, and I say alleged because the information comes from an anonymous informant, an alleged white supremacist conspiracy to murder Nicole Brown Simpson and to frame O.J. Simpson for the killings for reasons which we shall discuss. I personally suspect that this book is basically on the mark. However, even the authors believe that it's altogether possible that there may be some disinformation in this particular work. However, I think this book is basically the truth, with a capital T, concerning the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. The fact of the matter is, and I'm not going to discuss the author's lengthy discussion of the phenomenal discrepancies in the state's case and in the physical evidence, what O.J. Simpson was alleged to have done is physically impossible. That has been my contention almost from the beginning of this case. For those doubting Thomases and doubting Thomasinas, there's a very good and lengthy discussion in this book about the numerous evidentiary anomalies and the many unaccountable aspects of the case, if one were to believe that O.J. Simpson was the perpetrator. I would note that he not only was acquitted, but a mock trial in Phoenix acquitted him as well. So, again, I think that it is evident that O.J. Simpson was framed, whoever may have done it. And my personal belief is that the story presented in Blood Oath is accurate in its... it is fundamentally accurate, although there may be some elements of disinformation, and in fact, the authors indicate that Skinner may have deliberately introduced some disinformation vis-a-vis some of the things that could have identified some of his Nazi comrades in arms, to whom he remains at least psychologically loyal, even though he recognizes that they will come after him and try to find him and kill him for having betrayed their cause. Nonetheless, I think that not only is this book almost certainly accurate in its in the bulk of its information, but I also want to underscore that many of the things that are presented in this book check out with other pieces of information that have come to light, and indeed the authors point that out as well, and we will discuss many of the points of intersection between Skinner's story. Skinner is the code name for the author's informant, and other things that can be verified from the media and the verifiable objective research. One of the points that I have made from the beginning about the O.J. Simpson case was my working hypothesis that the murders of Ron and Nicole and the framing of O.J. basically constituted a psyop, a type of intelligence operation known as a psychological operation. I have long suspected and still suspect the possibility of a degree of overlap between some of the elements involved in this and some elements of our own and perhaps other national security establishments as well. In a miscellaneous 8-segment series entitled Specialized Knowledge and Abilities, I discussed my suspicion that many of the terrorist incidents that have overtaken this country in recent months and years, as well as some of the incidents in Europe and elsewhere, were produced by fascist elements not only at the street level, but with assistance from the inside of the political and national security establishments of their respective countries, and beyond that, that these fascist elements inside and outside of government are in league with each other around the world. And indeed, the story presented by Skinner would seem to confirm many of my suspicions presented in that series. We should note that the strike team of which Skinner was apparently a part was part of a small blind cell, and they did not know the other elements involved in this particular operation or who may have been above them. It would not surprise me one bit if that fascist elements within some of our intelligence services and or military, as well as fascist elements perhaps within the Republican Party itself, may have been part of the milieu of which the cause was a part. But again, with the strict cellular organization and a blind cellular structure that this organization, like many other fascist organizations, adhered to, It would be impossible for the members to know who their real controllers were. I suspect that people in positions of great power in this country may very well have been involved with this organization. That, however, is conjecture. The first element that we're going to discuss in discussing Operation Thunderbolt, the code name for this operation presented by Skinner, is the contention by Skinner that, in fact, this operation was indeed the Nazi psyop, the Nazi psychological operation that I have long maintained that it is. Now, this does not prove that my hypothesis was correct. However, I would point out that this is yet another contention of exactly what I've been saying, coming from a radically different source. In Chapter 5, entitled Skinner's Story, The Plan, we read the following. The plan for the anniversary celebration, by the way, the anniversary is the anniversary of the murder of Alan Berg by the Order. The plan for the anniversary celebration consisted of a plot so sinister, so creative, so diabolical that the outcome would provide for the embarrassment of an entire city, an entire race, and an entire nation. The plot included a well-thought-out action that could damage the U.S. judicial system forever. It would create a sense of doubt that would exist in every future trial. When we had all gathered in the farmhouse's spacious parlor, the Discoverer, by the way, each of the members of this elite Nazi strike team has a code name. None of them were identified to the authors by name, including their informant. So when you hear the Discoverer or Speedy or Thumper or the Blade or Skinner, these are all code names for the members of this team. Beginning again, when we had all gathered in the farmhouse's spacious parlor, the Discoverer continued to explain the rationale of the plan. Quote, evidence presented and testimony offered by law enforcement officers will be challenged forever from this case forward, unquote, he said. Still quoting, it's a plan designed in part to be a payback for all those responsible for actions that have been carried out against freedom-loving white supremacists, unquote. Another founder of the cause picked up the explanation. Quote, the plan is centered around an individual easily recognized and respected among blacks and whites. It will look like he's being framed by the authorities. The situation is designed to call upon and challenge interpersonal beliefs that every person holds. People will choose sides. Their consciences won't permit otherwise. The final coup will occur when our target is found guilty or his credibility is destroyed. This event will generate instant racial tension followed by violence. We're going to ensure that by fueling what will already be an inflamed situation. The plan will use the distrust between the authorities and the blacks that's existed in Los Angeles for years. At first, everyone will choose up sides. As the discussions become heated and clouded with rhetoric, violence will follow. After much destruction has occurred, the cause will then step forward to take credit for the framing. But it will be painfully obvious that we couldn't have done it without the help of an easily duped, overzealous prosecution, unquote. The leader of the cause meeting, codenamed the Deliverer, continued on with a grin that appeared to be etched in place. He was obviously enjoying his presentation. Strutting about in front of this select group, he described how this diabolic plan was offered to him as if from a sign from above, a sign designed to be passed down to his followers, the chosen Aryan race. By the way, the Deliverer is a former high-ranking military officer who is the contact man between this blind cell, this elite strike team, and those anonymous forces that were in the command structure that commanded them. By the way, it should be noted that other elements involved in this operation were unknown to the members of this blind cell. Pausing briefly, I want to point out that the use of small blind cells is a traditional methodology of underground fascist organizations. I've dealt with that in numerous archive shows, including Radio Free America 37, How the United States Lost the Second World War, and also a miscellaneous archive show from the fall of 1994 entitled Why Johnny Can't Identify Il Duce. Those are available from archives on audio. So again, note that one of the major goals of this particular operation was to split the races in preparation for a race war. We've discussed that in on the previous, or in the previous segment, on the previous side of this cassette. I also want to point out that in addition to alienating the races from each other and dividing and antagonizing black and white, this operation was intended to discredit the judicial system itself and to discredit law enforcement. As we shall see, white supremacist officers allied with cause were utilized in a big way for this operation, both to provide field-level intelligence to the elite strike team and also to direct the investigation in the direction of O.J. Simpson. Even though white supremacist elements loyal to this unit were, and within the L.A. legal system, were involved with the framing of O.J. Simpson, and even though other officers not necessarily connected with this organization further manufactured evidence to frame O.J. Simpson, we should note that law enforcement itself, and the Los Angeles Police Department in particular, were targets of this particular PSYOP. And again, this is, according to Skinner anyway, a Nazi PSYOP, just as I have long been saying. So again, the targets of this operation, I'm not talking about the individuals, but the goals to divide the races in preparation for a race war, which would lead to the ascension of the white supremacist movement in the United States, the discrediting and amending of the judicial system, and the discrediting and antagonizing of the LAPD and law enforcement in general. Again, this is a psychological operation. One of the things that the informant codenamed Skinner points out, or maintains, I should say, is that in fact the Furman tapes, the infamous Furman tapes recorded by Laura Hart McKinney, which obviously led to heightened tensions between the races, and which certainly discredited Mark Furman, and perhaps to a certain extent by extension the LAPD itself, at least in the eyes of minorities and open-minded people. These tapes, according to Skinner, were leaked to the defense by members of this organization. Skinner points out in the book that the mock trial in Phoenix, which had O.J. Simpson acquitted, had been closely monitored by elements, basically fascist-slash-Nazi-slash-white supremacist elements, allied with the Patriots networks in Phoenix. The authors write of Skinner's contention. By the way, the generals here refers to the commanding officers of this operation within the white supremacist movement. They are unknown, their identities unknown to all except for the deliverer, again, the commander, a former high-ranking military officer of this elite strike team, and an individual who was the go-between between this blind cell and the generals and the other elements behind this organization. Returning to Blood Oath, we read, quote, "The generals were on top of the mock trial thanks to our local patriots in Phoenix. Yes, it's true what you just read, and the possibility of that outcome is being contemplated with an ingenious plan in the works. One way or another, we'll win," said was Margie's final statement. Margie, by the way, is the wife of the deliverer and a loyal participant in this particular operation. And again, this notes that in a mock trial in Phoenix, O.J. was found not guilty. And Margie's maintaining that the generals had taken this into account and had a stratagem in the works that would achieve their goal of, again, dividing and antagonizing the races, discrediting the judicial system, discrediting law enforcement in general and the LAPD in particular, and in turn heightening tensions between the officers of LAPD and the population, leading to a greater recruitment of law enforcement officers by the white supremacist movement. It is the contention of Skinner that the leaking of the defense team's discovery of the Laura Hart McKinney tapes was leaked to them, or was the result of a leak that was generated, opened up, one could say, perhaps, by the elite cause strike team, precisely in order to heighten the tensions and discredit the institutions I've already discussed. The authors relate Skinner's account of this, quote, and this is quoting a member of the strike team called The Blade, a codenamed The Blade, I should say, the individual who actually wound up doing the killing of Ron and Nicole. Quote, I'll answer that in a minute, but first some important news. A couple of days ago, I received word from the generals that they approved of the deliverer's ideas that will now turn the whole trial around. There are tapes of Detective Mark Furman describing how much he hates niggers and how he and other LAPD officers, as a matter of course, planted evidence in prior cases. We have leaked to the defense the existence of these tapes. If the defense can get their hands on these tapes, you'll see all hell break loose in a couple of weeks. The generals are convinced that this will drive an even bigger wedge between the races, inflaming both communities. The whites won't believe it. They'll see it as just another attack by the nigger lovers, while the hip-hop and black sambos will see the tapes as justifying what they've always known. The cops have stacked the deck against them and theirs. No questions, gentlemen. I'm not at liberty to say anything more. Besides, I don't know nothing. By the way, again, I want to apologize for the strong language here. I'm quoting the text verbatim, and apparently Skinner and the authors have gone to considerable length to recreate the verisimilitude of these particular events. I would also point out that it may be that the Trojan horse that is alluded to, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes, an insider within L.A. law enforcement who was involved with CAUSE and was part of Operation Thunderbolt may very well have been Mark Furman. That's not by any means established. That remains conjecture. It also may be that Dark German, as he is codenamed, might have been a composite of various officers within L.A. law enforcement. Indeed, it appears that this group had heavily and very successfully recruited from L.A. law enforcement. So again, the Dark German here is a codename, once again, for the ringer, so to speak, the Trojan horse that this CAUSE strike team had inside of L.A. law enforcement. And one of the suspicions I have, and co-author Stephen Wirth shares this suspicion, is that if, in fact, the Dark German does refer to Mark Furman, and that remains conjectural, that the infamous Furman tapes may have been the information that you're going to hear alluded to that would blow the lid off of the LAPD. Again, it's important to remember that in addition to black Americans, in addition to relations between blacks and whites, the judicial system itself and law enforcement in general and the LAPD in particular were among the targets of the operation, targeted for discreditation, targeted also for polarization and stratification, two words that I used frequently in my specialized knowledge and abilities series that I recorded last spring. Returning to Blood Oath, we read, and again, the Dark German is the code name presented here for the law enforcement LAPD Trojan horse that this Operation Thunderbolt utilized. Quote, the Dark German can't wait for the hanging of this nigger. He's got some deep, dark secret he's told the deliverer that's guaranteed to blow the lid off the LAPD. The deliverer related to me the following, quote, when they hear what I've got to say about their police department, they'll start something between the races that we'll finish once and for all. Maybe you know what he's talking about, Blade. He's from up in your neck of the woods. So again, it remains conjectural, but one of the possibilities that I think should be considered is that not only perhaps was the Dark German Mark Furman, or perhaps Furman and or other L.A. officers, but that perhaps the Furman tapes were this blockbuster that it's alluded to here, or this bombshell that would blow the lid off of the LAPD. And again, the contention is by members of this elite strike team, as presented by Skinner, a member of that team, that in fact the Furman tapes were leaked to the defense in order, again, to heighten racial tension and to discredit LAPD and the judicial system. One of the contentions by the deliverer, again, he's the former high-ranking military officer who was the commander of this particular group, one of the contentions by the deliverer was that once L.A. law enforcement began to perceive that O.J. Simpson was a suspect, that there would be a rush to judgment and that both the DA's office and the cops would not only disregard evidence pointing in the other direction, but it was the suspicion and the prediction of the deliverer that elements within law enforcement would further manufacture false evidence in order to frame O.J. Simpson. And the presentation by Skinner here contends that that is exactly what happened. Continuing here with Skinner's account, quote, "I'll answer that in a minute, but first some important news. A couple of days ago, I received word from the generals that they approved one of the deliverer's ideas that will now..." That's the segment that I just read you. I might as well read this again. "I'll answer that in a minute, but first some important news. A couple of days ago, I received word from the generals that they approved of one of the deliverer's ideas that will now turn the whole trial around. There are tapes of Detective Mark Furman describing how much he hates niggers and how he and other LAPD officers, as a matter of course, planted evidence in prior cases. We have leaked to the defense the existence of these tapes. If the defense can get their hands on these tapes, you'll see all hell break loose in a couple of weeks. The generals are convinced that this will drive an even bigger wedge between the races, inflaming both communities. The whites won't believe it. They'll see it as just another attack by the nigger lovers, while the hip-hop and black sambles will see the tapes as justifying what they've always known. The cops have stacked the deck against them and theirs. No questions, gentlemen. I'm not at liberty to say anything more. Besides, I don't know nothing." There then follows the reference to the police further manufacturing false evidence against O.J. Simpson. By the way, the reference here to Colby, C-O-L-B-Y, is a reference to the code name of a member of this team who was a blood and DNA specialist who obtained for them a sample of O.J. Simpson's blood. More about that later. And skipping down, we read, quote, "When you work with blood, as Colby did, you learn some of the things the forensic people look for," stated the enforcer. He went over Skinner's explanation again in more detail. Quote, "A cardboard tube is inserted into each sock. Holding each sock by the tube end, the atomizer is used to spray the solution of blood and water onto the socks. Each sock is positioned with the lower part of the sock toward the atomizer nozzle to duplicate blood splashing up from footsteps. As the tubes are removed, there is always the possibility that one of the tubes can have an excess of blood on it from seepage through the sock. Potentially, some of this blood could get onto the inside of the sock as the tube is removed. This may cause a slight smear on the sock, like the one the prosecution's got. Whoever performed the plant was sloppy. It definitely wasn't us," unquote. So again, the contention here is that it was not members of a cause of this elite strike team in Operation Thunderbolt that performed the planting of the blood on the socks. And again, the prediction by the deliverer was that once it became apparent, or once it appeared to the DA's office and the police themselves that O.J. was a suspect, that there would be a rush to judgment, the DA's office would overlook evidence pointing in other directions, and that the cops would very possibly further manufacture evidence against O.J. Simpson. And as we will see, the role of the Trojan horse, the dark German, again, the L.A. law enforcement insider, who was part of Operation Thunderbolt, was to direct the operation, direct the investigation into the direction of, or in the direction of, O.J. Simpson. By the way, I want to point out that the archive shows to which I've alluded are still available from archives on audio. Their address is P.O. Box 170023, Box 17-0023. That is in San Francisco, zip code 94117, 94117-0023. Their phone number is 415-346-1840. There's also a 20-page catalog listing all of the archive shows, cross-referencing the broadcast with other programs containing similar or related material. The half-hour segments, by the way, as well as the weekly One Step Beyond shows that I do on my home base station, KFJC-FM, are not available from archives on audio. The half-hour segments and the weekly One Step Beyond shows are only available from an outfit called Spitfire. That's Spitfire. Their address is P.O. Box 1179, P.O. Box 1179, that is in Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, California. The zip code is 95005. They also have an email address. The email address for Spitfire is alca lame, alcalame, at ix.netcom.com. Once again, that's alcalame at ix.netcom.com. Before concluding this segment, I also want to mention people have frequently asked me when I was going to begin doing some writing or have something out in print. I'm in the process of launching my own political journal. It hopefully will begin publication before too much longer. I can't discuss it in any detail because I will be getting money from that, hopefully, knock knock. However, people that would like to inquire about that can write to the following address, Box 191710. Box 191710, that's in San Francisco, California, zip code 94119-94119-1710. By the way, the publication is entitled Other Means. It comes from the quote from Prussian military theoretician Karl von Clausewitz that war is the continuation of politics by other means. And again, Other Means can be contacted at Box 191710. That is in San Francisco, zip code 94119-1710. Or you can contact me via email at demory, D-E-M-O-R-Y, at well.com. That's D-E-M-O-R-Y at well.com. That concludes this particular segment. In our next segment, we're going to take a look at not only the unnamed foreign terrorist group, probably a German Nazi group from the context, but that's not established, and also the Trojan horse or horses, the white supremacist officers within the L.A. legal system who were a vital component of Operation Thunderbolt, the code name for this Nazi psyop performed by this particular group identified by Skinner as codenamed Cause, C-A-U-S-E. That concludes this segment. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.